Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
For those of you continuing on, we wish you a safe and pleasant journey. If this is your final destination, we welcome you home.
After being isolated in our homes for long periods of time, it's easy to feel less at home than ever. This is the podcast where I, Sandra Andres, and Laura Bach invite fellow artists, norm breakers, researchers, scientists, and spiritual leaders to share vulnerable stories and profound insights about how we all can feel more at home with ourselves.
Together with our guests, we will examine how to break the behavioral patterns that make us feel stuck and explore how to live a more joyful, connected, and sustainable life from the inside and out.
Because we do know one thing, maybe now more than ever. Regardless of our gender identity, profession, or nationality, we are more alike than we are different. And often it is a crisis or a challenge that cracks our hearts wide open and brings us closer to ourselves.
We are so excited to have you here with us. Welcome to Coming Home.
Hey, everyone. Hey, Laura.
Hello.
So spring has finally sprung big time here in Scandinavia. I'm talking to you from Stockholm, where the neon green trees make me all giddy. And I go a bit nuts thinking about all the things I want to do right now, that the evenings are just getting so much brighter for each day that passes, you know? My brain is like fireworks right now. New ideas and new plans pop up left and right, and I'm adding things to my to-do lists like a mad person. I mean, to be honest, I find it a bit challenging to slow down, and I have to really, really remind myself of that right now. How are you feeling over there in Copenhagen?
Oh, Sandra, just copy-paste everything you just said. And that's more or less how I feel. And also, being really honest, which we love on this podcast, I'm feeling all the feels of the inadequacy that comes with dropping some of the balls that I so desperately try not to drop. And I really am trying to practice that, to just instead admit to myself that I just had too many balls in the air at the same time. You drop some. It's okay. It's just getting too, there's just too much at the same time, right? So making that the narrative instead of making that I'm not good enough.
Good
Which
one.
No one out there, I'm sure, can relate to.
No one. Not at all. Taking that note. Thank you very much. Yeah, because, I mean, this is the thing, right? I've been thinking about this thing of approaching your to-do lists and aligning them with your true desires and personal needs in a reasonable way can be, how that can be so damn hard.
So damn hard.
Yeah. I think really, setting goals, being tactical and active yet patient, often feels like an impossible joke to me. I mean, if you are like me, you have too many things that you want to do and need to constantly practice minimizing the amount of things you want to get done in a day. But here it is. It is amazing what we all can do when we set clear goals. When the goal or goals align with our true desire, we become unstoppable. And our guest today in this episode is a living proof of that and really embodies the word pioneer.
Yes, indeed she does. This is the amazing and inspiring guest of this episode, German rally driver and the first and only woman to win the brutal off-rally endurance race, the Dakar Rally. She is a true norm breaker, a pioneer, and an inspiring living legend that we are so excited to introduce to you, in case you didn't know of her and her story already.
Yeah, well, she is very well known in her native Germany and in the motorsport community and to motorsport fans worldwide. But many more are about to get to know her soon because Steven Spielberg, of all people, and his company Amblin Partners over there in Hollywood have in fact acquired the feature film rights to her life story and her autobiographical book, My Victory at Dakar. I'm thrilled to have Jutta on our show for several reasons, which we will get into. But first, here's a little intro for you all.
Jutta Kleinschmidt is the most successful woman in marathon rallying worldwide. She is the first and only woman to date to have won what is often called the most dangerous race on the planet, the Dakar Rally.
The multi-race rally started in 1978 and is a mix of impossible terrain and logistical blindness. The drivers aren't told the course until right after finishing a stage or right before starting each stage. Over the years, the race has claimed some 70 lives, and a victory at Dakar still remains the Mount Everest of motorsports.
Jutta grew up in Berchtesgaden in the south of Germany, close to the Austrian border. And when she was only 18, she bought her first motorbike and started going on what she called adventure trips. After studying physics and 6 years as a development engineer at BMW, she quit to pursue her passion for motorsport. In 1997, she became the first woman to ever win a stage of the rally. And in 1999, she earned recognition, finishing third overall, as half of the first all-female team to stand on the winner's podium. In 2001, after 15 years of competing, Jutta finally won the world's hardest, meanest, and most fiercely competed race and wrote herself into the history books.
Without further ado, let's go back to the day when Jutta joined me in the studio in Stockholm and you were talking to us from your home in Copenhagen. Hi, Laura, who you're actually, it's a special episode because you're not with us in the studio here in Stockholm. Jutta is with me in the studio. And you are?
I'm sitting literally in my son's closet trying to make good sound for you, hoping that it works. So, yes.
Yeah. Hi, Jutta. Welcome. How are you?
I'm very well, and I'm very happy to be here.
We are so happy to have you here because it's a very special episode for many reasons. You're not only our dream guest, one of our dream guests on this podcast, you're actually a very dear friend and like family to me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You truly take care of the people around you and the ones you love. And that's actually why I'm so thrilled that you are here, because we as people are never just one thing. There are so many preconceived ideas that come with words and titles such as Dakar winner and pioneer. And I think it's important that we have conversations where we meet in our humanity more than our achievements. And that is something that you always do, Jutta. And now you're here. You have flown in from Monaco and you're sitting here in the studio in Stockholm with me. I'm so moved by that fact. And thank you again for being here.
Thank you so much.
Let's start with your story. The doors to the BMW headquarters in Munich in Germany are closing behind Jutta Kleinschmidt as she steps outside into the cold air. She takes a deep breath, as if she is literally breathing in the future that lays ahead of her. This is the start of her new life, which entails total and utter uncertainty. What will be my first step? She thinks to herself. Butterflies are fluttering around in her belly. For the past 6 months, and despite having her dream job as an engineer at BMW, and already achieving several of the goals she set up for herself, Jutta has been more or less depressed.
Months of discomfort came down to finally identifying what she wants to pursue, and she is determined to give it her best shot. Standing here with the closed doors behind her, she is a 30-year-old woman who is set on driving what is considered the most difficult rally in the world. The legendary Paris-Dakar Rally. The race runs during 3 long weeks from the capital of France to Dakar, the capital of Senegal. 10,000 kilometers over hill and dale, down narrow tracks in the Atlas Mountains, sand dunes in the Sahara, and through the forests of the Senegalese steppes. Through exotic countries with dangers lurking everywhere, from wild beasts to bandits. 3 weeks of strain and deprivation, with nights spent tenting without a hint of luxury. With daily stages of driving up to 1,300 kilometers through off-road terrain. About 1,000 participants start the rally on motorbikes, in cars and trucks, but two-thirds of them usually never make it to the finish. Only truly hardy souls get through this hell. To enter this adventure as a professional driver and to finish is precisely what Jutta has decided to do. She has participated in the race only twice as an enthusiastic hobby driver. Now, to become a professional, there are only a few issues that she has to find a solution for. She has zero connections in the motorsport business, nor the money needed to afford the expensive race. The fact that she is considered too old in a sport where most start out as kids, and too female in a completely male-dominated sport, will not stop her. Jutta ignores all the doubtful thoughts. Instead, she just takes another deep breath and lets a sense of freedom and excitement fill her lungs. She has no idea how she will do this, but she knows what her new goal is.
Wow. This sounds like very much like a life-changing moment.
And it was a life-changing moment. Yes, absolutely. It's one of the most important moments in my life.
I'm curious from my side, what made you make that decision? Like leaving BMW, like you must have had a feeling that something wasn't sitting right with you. And what was that? Where did that come from?
Yeah, you put it on the point. I had the feeling something is not right here. But, you know, I didn't know what it was. Since several months, I was feeling uncomfortable. I was a kind of depressed and I was not happy with my life. And when you are in this age, you maybe don't know how to figure out what is this problem. Because, you know, I had a fantastic job. I was earning a very good money. I just finished a trainee program. And everybody would say, yes, this woman is on the right way to make a big career. And for sure, my mother was super proud about myself, about what I achieved. But I didn't feel that I want to do that until the end of my life. So something was wrong here. But then I figure out I have to give this dream in a way a chance because this is what I wanted to do. Yeah, this was really what motivated me to get up in the morning. I didn't really want to have this career as an engineer in a big company. Even if this was my dream before, you know, I studied physics to get a good job and I had it. And suddenly that wasn't interesting anymore. I asked myself, what do you risk? Yeah, if you do this. So I risk a good job. Yes. But I was working already 7 years in this job. I was a physics engineer, still young. So I thought, okay, maybe you have to find a new job after if you fail. Yeah. But I will, yeah. So this is not such a big risk. Yes, I had to move out of my nice apartment because I cannot afford it anymore. Yes, I will have no money and I have to find maybe other things to earn some money, which were teaching others how to drive a motorcycle and even to drive cars. I did that already. So organize travel things for others. So, but you know, when you are sure about yourself, what it's worst case, and you can live with the worst case, then you can do it. And that's what I did. And yeah, in the end of the day, that was the best decision of my life.
You said something for me very interesting there, because there is like, it starts with this inkling inside. And then, as you said, you need to be comfortable with the discomfort. So worst case scenario, how would that look like if I changed this? So making that like full movement of that, getting to worst case scenario, making the decision seems like a good way of doing it for people listening. And for myself, I know struggling with actually making the decision and making it clear what's right to do for me and for those around me.
That's exactly the point. And if you have a very difficult decision to make because you feel uncomfortable with something, because your body is feeling it. Yeah, I was feeling it. I couldn't figure really out what it was, but it took me a while because I was not in the situation before. Until there, everything went well. You know, I did everything what I want to do. I had my next goal, and it was automatically. I didn't even think about it. And then suddenly I felt uncomfortable and not happy. And as soon as you know why, this is the most important thing. If you have this feeling, try to find why. The why is important. And then is important what I have to change. Yeah. And then if this is a massive thing, like in this situation for me, because it's most massive and everybody told me this is the most stupid thing you can do. Yeah. So it's massive. And for sure, my mother was very worried and how you can do that and blah, blah, blah. But then that's what you just said was important point. Sit down and just think about what is the worst scenario. And if you can live with worst scenario, it is not so difficult anymore. Mm. And if you don't give it a try, maybe in 20 years you say, oh, shoot, why I didn't try it. I have so many people during my speeches, for example, who come up and say, yeah, that was also my biggest dream to become maybe a race driver, but I couldn't because, yeah. So that was their decision, which is fair enough. But I mean, me in 20 years, I would for sure doubt it. I'm sure. So it's very important that you give it a try.
When you talk about goals in your book, it's so clear. You are so clear. Have you always been that clear, like with your intentions, setting intentions and goals?
I think yes. That's brought me in the first step to be a physics engineer, to study physics. And you know, I even was on a school for boys only because I was so much interested in technology and I want to study that. But no girls did it, so they had only entry for boys. So I had really to ask the ministerium in Munich to get the chance to study with the boys, which is ridiculous today.
It's absolutely ridiculous. It's not that long ago. So, yeah.
No, it's not so long ago. And I knew I want that. And I fought it for it. But then suddenly the goal I had was not really my goal anymore. I know it's very stupid, but actually I want to race.
No. I'm sorry. It's very stupid, but yeah. I'm doing this. Yeah, it's a little thing I just want to do. I'm just going to race the world's most difficult race. No, but I love that. It's that's definitely something I think that you then have from an early age. And that makes me just want to take it back a little bit. Can you just talk a little bit about your background? Because I think it's really interesting how you grew up.
Yeah, I think it helps me how I grew up, even if others would say that's not the ideal family because my parents split up very early. So we were super young and we are grown up four girls with my mother. So only women
in the household. Yeah.
But I also think that was good because there was no typical role in the family. Yeah,
no typical gender roles.
Not at all. When it comes to football, the boys would say, oh, no, you cannot play with us. You are not good enough. And I was always fighting for that. I say, look, why I'm not good enough? You didn't even try it. Let me play. And if I'm really so bad like you think, you can still throw me out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and yes, they did. And in the end of the day, I played with them. Yeah. So because they thought, she's not so bad. And, but I mean, this is maybe in my family because of this not typical gender roles.
Yeah, because that's what I'm thinking. It's like what's expected of a man versus a woman wasn't existing in your household. Mm. And that's interesting because it might not even be outspoken, but you take that on very quickly as a young person. So I think that's very cool.
I think it gave me the right self-confidence to do it. This is the point, you know?
It is just so interesting because, of course, I think we're born a certain way with a certain temper that maybe makes us less fearful. But it is, of course, also something to do with how we are brought up. And that is an interesting point, that there were no defined gender roles. So you took them all on, like, I can do everything. And Sandra has shared some of your quotes with me. And I think one that I really like that I also think refers to this, which is, when we suppress our desires, we run the risk of not pursuing our own goals, but those of others. And that just rang very true with myself indeed, because I was very much very oppositely of you. And to be perfectly honest, I saw that it paid off to be sweet, to be beautiful, to be laughing at their jokes and so on and so forth. And that it wasn't very welcomed to be like the badass running around, you know, taking my place, basically. Mm. So I think this sentence, if you don't take your desire seriously, and if you don't support your children, your girls and boys in their desires, take it seriously, pursue those goals, then you will end up pursuing someone else's goals on your behalf. Mm.
And I think what you said is so important, because this is the biggest mistake very often happen. Because for sure, sometimes parents have an idea for their kids, which you think, which is human, to be honest. This is what I would love to achieve. So I'm sure that is the best for my kid too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's maybe not, you know, so maybe your kids has other passions. And I think this is the most important point. Find out what your kids really love to do. Mm. And they will be good in this. Yeah. Because what you love, you are good in. This is clear, because you don't have to talk about motivation, because it just doing it motivates you.
The kids don't do what you say. They do what you do.
Yes, that's it. The best thing you can do for your kid is just do it for yourself.
Yes.
So that they learn from you. This is what it means to follow your desires, to take your place and be your full, authentic self.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
It really is lovely to get that picture of you as a kid and how you grew up. And then the story we heard, then you're changing your life. What happened from there on? Because it's not a small goal that you set out to do. How did you do it?
I think the most important thing is that I really start to act. And that was actually what I need first. If I want to race like that, you need a race bike, you know. So I start to build my race bike in my apartment. And
because then you were racing on motorbikes.
On motorbikes, yeah, sure. Mm. Because I couldn't afford any car. And I was not even thinking about car. Mm. Because motorcycle was so much cooler anyway, you know. Bigger adventure.
I love how you said that. I chose motorbike because it's harder. You have to stand up all the time. It's like... Holy cow. Yeah.
Yeah, it is more physical. That's no question. And more dangerous. But, you know, in this age, you don't really think about that.
No.
So the adventure was great. So and then I had to make a plan. What kind of races you do? Then I started to contact people to find at least some help. Yeah. So I got at least the bike for free. I got the parts for free, which is the first start that you don't pay for the physical parts, which is already good.
You were asking people to sponsor you that way.
Yeah, exactly.
To give material.
Yeah. But you have to start with small things. They don't come with big budget in the beginning. Like I said. You start very small, you know, so like getting something for free and give them a big return for that. Yeah, so not only putting the sticker on your bike, because this don't help. Yeah, organizing events for them. Very early, I started already to make speeches, even on low level. Yeah, but it was nice because then they could invite their partners and they had an event around it. And then the little money they gave me was worth it. Yeah, so... So, and then actually, that's how it grows. You start little, but it's very important that you get this network up, yeah? Because I had no contacts. I had to make them, yeah? So talk to everybody you can find, yeah?
Yeah.
And try to inspire other people who help you.
So actually giving something, not asking only for favors, but it's this exchange.
Yes,
that
I think you have really to think about it, what you can give people. And how you can motivate or inspire the others, yeah, and that they like what you are doing and then they like to support you. And that is, I think, the hardest part, because if you have success, this is easier. But in the beginning, you are nobody. Yeah. Mm. So nobody find you. So you have to find them in a way. And then what is also very important, you have to improve yourself. Yeah. So I always try to work on my weakness, you know, where I'm not so good. Exactly there you have to work, because there you can gain the most, where you are weak, you know. Mm. So this is important. Yeah, and then also maybe make first smaller goals, yeah. I from the beginning, I didn't have the goal to win the Dakar Rally, because it was not even in my mind. Yeah. It was too big, yeah, even for me. And
I get that. Yeah. So that wasn't what you started out with. You just wanted to drive and finish a race. Was that your first goal?
Yeah, but I had it already, because I did two Dakars and I finished it already. But I mean, the goal was now to be better. Yeah. So to make better results and to live out of motorsport. Yeah. And just do what you love to do and not doing other things. Yeah, which you are not so much motivated.
This is a big thing that it comes back in the book over and over again, which I think is really great. It's that a lot of people spread themselves thin. I recognize that very much in myself. So you are focusing on too many things at once. Mm. And this seems to be something that you've been very good at. You're focusing on one thing at a time. In a way. I mean, obviously there are several balls rolling, but like setting a weekly goal, a daily goal, like writing it down. I thought that was very tangible and easy, the way that you seem to set up your system, that I'm guessing you learned as you were going along, or?
Yeah, for sure. I think we all do.
Yeah.
You know, this is very important. But what you said also, I always did that from the beginning, and I actually love the system. It's very old, and I think everybody know that. In the beginning, you have your lists, and then you have plenty of them, and it's terrible because they are never finished. And
true. Oh, so, guilty as charged.
Yes. So I think it's important that you make lists who are achievable, yeah? Because otherwise you are every day disappointed because you have still 20 points on your list open, and then you push them to the next day, and then suddenly you have 10 of this kind of lists. And no, I think I make it that very easy way, you know? So you have your list, but you take your priorities, which are really important, and try to solve this.
Yeah.
Maybe at that day or at that week or even at that month. It depends on your schedule. And then for me, it's such a pleasure to cross it out.
Yes.
It's done, you know.
That's
so
good to cross things out on the list. I agree.
And that's so simple.
And it's achievable.
And
I think it's
achievable.
A very important thing. I don't know about you, Laura, but are you good with like doing reasonable lists?
Sorry. we should let people know that I can only talk when you don't. That's why it's like this particular episode. I do exactly what you say not to do. I do many lists, and also I do many of them. So I will have one on my phone. I will have one on a piece of paper. I'll have one on my computer. And then sometimes say, oh, I should actually put them all together in one list. And then that never happens. And then I think of something and I write it on, like, you know, a little note. And obviously, being as scattered as that, that's exactly how my life looks then. And as you said, make goals that are achievable. It might be small things, but if they're scattered all over, it really, that the psychological effect of not having that overview of things, that makes you feel like you're losing control and not in charge of your own life.
It helps you. And then really try to focus on the important stuff. But this is really difficult. Even for me, sometimes you are too nice and you want to do everything. You really have to focus sometimes on the important stuff. And yeah, but it's okay if you do that sometimes wrong, because we all do that sometimes wrong.
Yeah.
But it should not take over your life. This is the most important
thing. Right. And the quicker you get back on the track, so to speak, rally terms, the better.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That is the same. If I get lost, can you imagine how it works? We're sitting in the car, you have a co-driver and me as a driver, so we get lost. So then the co-driver hopes we are not lost. Yeah, that is the first thing, because it's very bad to get lost because you lose time. So then instead of telling me, look, I think we are maybe not right anymore, the co-pilot maybe continue. Yeah. And say nothing. So I race and race and race all the time in the wrong direction. Yeah. Don't make it better. Yes.
So. Don't make it better. Better speak out your doubt.
Yes.
Right.
All right, people, it's time to do a shout out to our favorite sweet of all time, Tweak Sweets, a total bonus to leading a holistic lifestyle, let me tell you.
There are so many natural flavors to choose from, and they are all good.
And they are so much better for you than your normal sugary candy, because it got 95% less sugar, babies.
How about that?
Go to tweaksweets.com and have a look and see all their deliciousness.
So Jutta, you started your new life and that was all about professional racing. And this particular race is just really crazy. I mean, I was reading again, although I've heard some of these stories, but just to give the listeners an idea, even more of an idea of what this race is about. So you are racing basically night and day. You have some days that you call marathon days, where you sit in the car for 12 hours. And then you explain in the book that you come to the biwak. Is that what it's called? The biwak, for the night. And then you have to like do repairs for hours. And then your co-driver has to set up what's called the roadmap, right, for the next stage. So how does that work?
Yeah, it's a bit like you said, exactly. It's a very long race, and that's why it's the toughest rally, in my opinion. But this is part of the challenge, yeah? So if it wouldn't be so hard, it wouldn't be so famous, no? And why it's so hard? Because it's so many days in a row. Every morning you start into a stage, and this goes on time. And then stages finish. The time is stopped, but you continue maybe to drive into a bivouac where we stay overnight. And that can be even, again, 400 or 500 kilometers even to drive there off-road, because at this time we had not much roads in Africa. And then you stay overnight there if you manage to arrive in this bivouac. But then it depends on which level you race. You either have to repair your car, bike, truck by yourself, or you actually have a team that makes it a little bit easier. Who's doing that for you? And then maybe you have the chance to sleep a little bit. And then, like you already said, that is a normal day. And you had in the past 20 days of that. Now it's much shorter. But when the race was in Africa, it was like this. And then actually, we have this kind of marathon days where no service is allowed from other people than yourself. So that means even you have a big team that don't helps you. So you have to drive the whole day and as fast as you can. And then you come into the bivouac and then you are allowed to repair your car, but only with the parts which you have on board and by yourself. And that, if you had some issues, can take very long. And maybe, especially when you had issues, you arrive already very late and then repair and then maybe no sleep until the next
day. Sometimes you don't even get any sleep.
Yeah. So I tell you, when I was on the bike, my first Dakar, which I finished, I nearly didn't sleep. I was for sure not on the level of a professional driver because I was not professional. So you are already slower. You have no support team, so I repaired everything more or less by myself. Actually, you only try to survive. You have to say, if you survive the day, that's fun, yeah?
that's what you have to make it into. If I survive this day, it's fun. No, but I mean, it is quite incredible when you read and hear a lot of your stories, because it's just these kind of unbelievable events that happen during a race. Can you tell us about that?
One time with the bike, for example, I was stuck in the dunes and then one of the fast trucks came and I was behind the dune and he drove just over my bike and my bike was completely smashed.
No.
You know? So things like that can happen. And then you are there, okay, I just jumped in the last moment away from my bike. So luckily the truck don't run over me. But still, you know, and then you are there and he just continue.
He didn't even notice?
No, he didn't even stop. Things like that can happen, or it's a lot of situation where you wouldn't expect and you have to find a solution out of it. I remember one time I was completely lost and I really, in the beginning, you know, we didn't have even GPS, we had nothing. Yeah, we had only this road book. So if you drove in the wrong direction and you didn't even know where you are or where to go, and I was not on the right track, but suddenly I was in front of a cliff which was 500 meter down, more or less straight, and I could see the finish, 3 kilometer airline, but how to go there? So and petrol is always an issue too, you know, so you don't have petrol forever.
Oh, that is also
you have to calculate, but I couldn't jump 500 meter down, that was a bit too much. So I drove along the cliff and tried to find a place where I could pass with my bike. And actually, I found where water went down, you know. So that was not like immediately straight, but rough like hell. And there was parts where I had to throw down my bike and pick it up again. And I managed. And with the last drop of petrol, I arrived in the finish. So it sounds a little bit funny, but if you're in the situation, it's not so funny. But
not
I mean,
funny at all, I would say. It sounds like incredibly scary.
One of the things that you also talk about in your book is exploiting the energy of a crisis, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You are right. So now, put it on the point. I lost everything, and for sure that puts you in a very uncomfortable situation. Let's say it like this.
It is January 21st, 2001 at Lac Rose. A coral pink lake nestled between white sand dunes and the Atlantic Ocean in Senegal, one of the most extraordinary locations in the world. After a sleepless night, Jutta is preparing for the very last short stage of the race that started in Paris 3 weeks ago.
And it's green, we are going, and the cars are coming together, it's a squish.
Together with her co-driver, Andreas Schultz, Jutta finds herself with a tiny lead before Japanese Hiroshi Masuka, and can finally realize her big dream, a victory at the Dakar Rally.
Really aggressive off the start, not in a bad way, shut the door immediately, got good traction, close.
The possibility to become the Dakar winner is within her reach. 14 years have passed since her first race, which she did alone and unsponsored on a motorbike.
On January 13th, 1987, Germany's Jutta Kleinschmidt made history on board her Schlesser buggy.
The thought of what has happened up to now is mind-blowing. The day before, she passed her former lover and rally champion, Jean-Louis Schlesser. He has gotten a penalty for unsportsmanlike behavior due to a maneuver from the last stage and is now in third place behind her. It's hard to take in that she has come this far from the state she was in only 2 years earlier. Jutta remembers the shock and pain of those events vividly. She had just scored better than ever at the Dakar Rally as a driver on her boyfriend Schlesser's team, where she functioned as his teammate and support, often pulling him out of the dunes and helping him in case he got in trouble along the way. Despite that, her sponsor surprised her with a message that they will only continue to support Formula One and not the Dakar Rally and will therefore drop her. When she told her boyfriend the shocking news, he dropped her from his team instead of supporting her. To find new sponsors mid-rally season is next to impossible, and he knew this better than anyone.
Well, Jutta Kleinschmidt had her difficulties today. Got into a ditch.
Desperate and faced with a possible ending of her career, Jutta started taking meetings with other possible sponsors and investigating whether she could join another team. After taking a meeting with a Mitsubishi factory team, asking if she could drive on their team without getting paid, she got a hard no. They told her she had to raise the money and pay. Yet another setback.
It wasn't a happy day for Jutta Kleinschmidt, I can tell you.
To her great surprise, only the meeting itself made her life partner furious. Jean-Louis broke up with her on the spot and threw her out of their mutual apartment with immediate effect. Jutta found herself facing a career crisis as well as a personal one. Mid-season, she had to try to pick up the pieces of her life and jumpstart her career, all at the same time. The memories of the events flood Jutta's mind as she is staring out over the gorgeous pink Lac Rose. She is here. All the heartbreak and anger has been managed to be turned towards fueling her goal. She made it. This last stage is the moment of a lifetime, and she will enjoy every second of it.
Well, it's all very well getting into a ditch, but it's about getting out of it. There she is.
That's quite the journey, Jutta. Wow.
Yeah, it is wow still for me, you know, even if I hear that, because, yeah, it actually shows that sometimes the biggest crisis of your life, and that was the biggest crisis of my life, because in one moment I lost everything. Yeah, so from a partnership, you know, apartment, no money, no place to race. Yeah, so that means you are on the street with nothing.
Incredible, because also just to give some more background, you had been together for quite some time. You had been colleagues, and tell us about that. You met while racing.
Yeah, I was still on motorcycle when I met him, and actually he is a very well-known race driver, and we fall in love. And later when I changed to cars after my first Dakar, actually I also come to his team, and but I paid every year for this. And so I brought sponsors. With my sponsors, I paid my drive. And then I actually thought I can continue to race for his team and some of his sponsors take over the costs. But that was definitely not the case. And for sure, that puts you in a very uncomfortable situation. Let's say it like this. And now you could give up and, I don't know, start drinking, sleeping on the street, whatever.
Would have been understandable, actually.
Or you take this as a motivation, yeah? And that is actually the power in it, you know, because you don't want to give up at this point, you know. So you say, look, I can change this situation. I will show it that I can do that, you know. So that gives you a lot of motivation. Women will buy your car, and you know what I mean. So yeah. I made myself a little bit bigger than I am. Which I normally don't do.
Well, yeah. Normally, women, we don't do yeah. that. If I may generalize, we don't.
But I had to at this situation.
But you were forced out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
That's the thing, right? Because you mentioned this before to me. But and that's also interesting, because you had a good life, so to speak.
Yeah.
You were doing what you loved, but
Yeah, that is the next point of it. So why I didn't change something before? Because I was in a comfort zone. I had a boyfriend, which I love. I had a car to raise. There was only one thing which I didn't like so much, is that I was only the support person in the team for him. Yeah, so I was not allowed to overtake him. Yeah, so that was forbidden. And if I did, it was always a catastrophe in our relationship. So I stayed behind, but because he was a very fast driver, it was not really such an issue.
But the better that you became, the more of an issue it was.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Maybe the problem would came anyway in 2 years. But because I lost my sponsor, I anyway couldn't continue in this team. And because I start talking to other teams, which was our enemy before, he was getting so angry that he stopped our relationship, threw me out of the apartment, and but actually that was very bad, but that was the best what could happen to me, because this makes me the person after to go and maybe sell myself a little bit better. I was the only woman who ever won stages, who was in the top five of the Dakar Rally, and still I was...
And you were still playing down
your achievement. That's quite normal, you know. So, and yeah, so, and I think that is important thing, that I certainly had to sell my person better.
And I think that that's such a good point and such a thing that we can learn from you doing. Because if you doubt yourself, everyone else will doubt you. And learning to not do that, learning that what I come to the table with is worth them listening. I have got something that's going to be valuable for them as well. I'm a valuable person. Mm. So it's like we're almost taught to be humble in a wrong way sometimes. And when you're talking, I'm just thinking that is so useful for everyone to hear. Even though, as you said, I completely agree. I feel as a woman, it's been harder to take that place. We haven't historically a lot of practice doing that. But it's just so important to be aware yourself of your own value. And if you can't, then like make it up on the spot. As you said, you had to oversell yourself even.
You were forced to.
And it just, the result is what happened then, is that you won the whole fucking thing.
Yeah, I oversell my value. Yeah. But I gave them even more. I gave them the victory, which they wasn't even expect, you know. So, I mean, I did much more than I sold, in a way.
Please tell us about what happened on that last stage of the Dakar Rally, January 21st, 2001.
Yeah, for sure. This is a great moment because you are just in front of your biggest dream and you know you maybe can win it when you for sure make this stage good. But I had some issues to go through because, first of all, the distance to the second place was very little. So if I would have only a little problem like getting stuck or even driving not fast enough, I would maybe lose this win. So that is a huge pressure. And on top of it, the day before, because I was not a factory driver and I had not a factory car, the factory team actually was renting us a tire pressure system, which all the factory drivers had in the car. But for the last day, they decided to remove it because my car goes back to Germany for some shows and they don't want that anybody has a chance to see the system. That's what they said, you know? So that was really terrible because we had really dunes to cross. And with this tire pressure system, you have to understand, it's so much easier to pass the dunes because you lower the pressure when the sand is coming and you're much faster and the risk to stuck is a lot less. And then for sure, when the hard surface come, you pump them up automatically and you go fast again and you have no risk for puncture. So if you don't have this system, it's a big disadvantage. And for sure, it was like maybe a little bit tactic to give the Japanese in the Mitsubishi, who was on the second place, still a chance to win. So for sure, that makes me even more nervous. It's clear, you know, can you imagine? You are in the front of your biggest victory. You know, you have only very, very little advantage on time. And yeah, and your car is not in the condition like before. So
it must feel like you're being robbed in a way, robbed of something that's very important.
Yeah. At least you know that these conditions are difficult now. But I went for it. I thought, okay, I will not give this chance away because I will be angry about myself all my life. And then for sure, I gave everything I could. I drove like hell. And finally, even I increased the distance. So I was even faster without the system, which was very, very nice.
That's unbelievable. How did it feel?
Yeah, it was good for sure. Because when I passed the finish line, I knew it is enough because you know when it was good. And everything worked out and I drove really well and I had this good feeling. But I still had to wait a bit because Hiroshi, who was second, was not in the finish yet. So I had to wait until he finished because we don't start all at the same time. We start in time difference. So to be sure that it was enough, but it was enough. And then for sure, it's a big release and you are super happy.
So you're just standing there waiting and then you're just jumping up and down, basically screaming.
That's what it is, yes. Was nice for sure. That's a very, very nice memory. And this is one of the things when I'm in a bad mood and I can think about that.
That's a pretty good one to think about. Yes.
I think you had a really great point in the book, Jutta, because you have very clear examples of what you can do. And one of the things that really resonated with me was that your tip to take out a notebook and write down all of the things that you have overcome in your life so far, small as well as big. And then when you find yourself on a day when you have crashed or feel shit, you take that notebook and you read it.
Yeah. Because it helps you to change your mood.
Yes.
A lot. And it's so simple.
It's so simple, but it is, I think it's brilliant because that's what you forget. You forget about everything that you have done and handled in your life. It just goes out the window. And
yeah, then it goes out the window.
That will like shoot down your self-esteem in a second.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, often in the situation that we forget that. And we shouldn't, because this is part of your life. You have achieved that, and it also shows you you can do it again. What happened in the second or in this moment is certainly a little part of all. And then this little part gets less important, and that's it.
Yeah. And just showing you building your whole life back up again and winning the Dakar rally is proof of that, if any.
Yeah, and that's why sometimes it can be something else even if you don't need that, or it's easier for you if you have a picture of one of your great moments. Yeah, it's maybe enough to watch the picture.
Absolutely.
Or whatever. You really love what you have achieved in your life. And I think a good thing is already your family, your kids.
Yeah, whatever, like kind of find what works for you to change your mood and not like fall down into that hole, so to speak. And that anyone can tap into, like these things that we have talked about can make you achieve amazing things. So we are making ourselves smaller often, and anyone can be a pioneer. That is a very important message, I think. And it when I read your book, I get very inspired to not limit yourself with maybe just thinking about that end goal. It's about thinking in steps.
Absolutely. And I think this is what helped me a lot, you know, it's just going step by step, but know what you want to reach next. In my book, I compare it with the Dakar Rally because it's a good example. The Dakar Rally is 3 weeks. Yeah. If I would think at the start about the finish, this is too long away. It's too hard. I have to think step by step. Yeah. So manage day by day. And that is, I think, the important thing, that you really see what is in front of you next. And try to achieve that. And then from there, the next thing. But also what helped me to be even motivated after my, I want to say, official race career. Because I think this is a problem many successful people have. When they achieve something, what happened next? Yeah. So I think that's why we see many successful people maybe unhappy after a while. Because they lost their goals in a way because they achieved it. And I think I have one skill. I can be fascinated by a lot of things. Yeah. So I think this is important. Even if you cannot continue racing, for example, because you get too old or cannot do anything for any other reason anymore, there's other good things out there who can motivate you. And I think you have just keep your eyes open and you will feel it. If something comes up, you will see, this is very interesting, huh? And then you start anyway thinking about it, but then maybe the next day the people forget that again, yeah? So I think if you feel something,
Something you mean that comes back over and over again a bit for
Yeah, and you but you have to recognize it. And then maybe this can be something who motivates you and find new goals, yeah, in your life, which I think is important. Yeah, I think it's always important to, to have a goal, whatever it is.
And the goal is the same thing as, a goal is what gives you purpose, a sense of purpose, right?
This is actually the purpose. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
How you call it doesn't matter, but goal is for me just,
Yeah, it's the same thing. Like that's what gives you the other,
That motivates you to get up every morning,
Yeah.
With pleasure.
I've just been sitting and listening to what you're saying. And the red thread seems to be very clear that do not make yourself smaller than you are and take yourself seriously. If you feel something, a desire burning, it, that keeps coming back, take that serious. And if you feel something is off, then take that serious. And that's, I mean, just both looking at you and hearing you speak, that I think will change so many lives if we could take ourselves more seriously. Not in a heavy way, but in a matter of fact, listening and acting on what comes up, what is there. And if it's not clear, then sit with that for a while until it becomes clear, because it's there.
Yeah. And I think that that is the point, that you start to know what you want and go for it, even if it seems stupid, like in my beginning. And a good example, for example, is now I race again since this year, I think I'm the oldest race driver. I'm a woman. They would say, oh, she is by far too old to race now again,
Now, there's so much ageism in our society. Yes. And I think that, and this is the thing, we shouldn't...
But more for us, girls.
Yeah, for women, way more. And we shouldn't conform to this idea. It's just an old norm way of thinking. Yeah. And I think that's where... It's changing, and it's very necessary that it is changing. But with that said, I also have to say that you are actually racing electric cars now, which is really cool, because this is what I mean about your pioneer spirit, that you have been an advocate for environmental friendly racing for a very long time. And those issues interest you a lot. So I think that's very admirable. And I just wanted to put that in there so that everyone understands that you're doing that.
Thank you. No, I think that is an important point, because my background is physics engineer. I love new technologies. And that's why this new series inspires me so much, which is Extreme Me, because it's full environment friendly.
What are your kind of goals from here on? Can you share some of them, or what are you thinking?
I want to fly to the moon, and I would love to race on the moon. I actually set up a meeting, and I was at the Institute for Luft- und Raumfahrt, and they showed me everything, and it was fantastic. But then the price was 2 million or something like that, which was for sure cheap, but still too expensive.
But you didn't have it in your back pocket. No. You just didn't have it then.
No, so I had to wait a little bit more now. So maybe it gets affordable in the future.
Yeah. And maybe there are, I mean, considering how you found your way until now, I wouldn't be surprised if that happens in a few years.
And I can just encourage everyone to read your book.
Oh, yes.
Because we all need to inspire each other to go after what we absolutely know will make our heart tickle, as you always say, Sandra.
Yeah, what makes your heart tickle, but how do we go about it from there? How do we go about it from there once we've identified that tickle?
Exactly.
Yeah, read the book. There are so many wonderful lessons in there, clearly stated and very inspiring.
Oh, Jutta, it's been such an absolute pleasure, cyberspace meeting you and listening to everything you had to say. I'm sure we could talk for hours and weeks on end, and probably you will have to come back.
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking. We could talk. We need to talk more. So definitely. Thank you so much, Jutta.
Thank you. It was a pleasure for me, really. Thank you so much.
Reach for the sky. go to the moon? I mean, how inspiring is she?
Yeah, it's just she's so fucking amazing.
I mean, she drove the rally 18 times. We didn't even get into that she has participated in the Race Across America cycling marathon, only 5,000 kilometers across America, and is a trained helicopter pilot and has, for example, flown to Africa with her own helicopter. I mean,
Come on. This goes on and on.
Yes, and you'd think that she was done, right? But extremes are her passion, and she continues to push herself and pushing the motorsport industry she loves to go green. I mean, she both develops and is racing electric cars. I'm in awe of everything she has done and do, yet she is so humble. So to me, Jutta is proving how to live with purpose on your own terms, regardless of norms and preconceived ideas, and how we all can embody many different qualities, how we can be both hard and soft, sensitive and tough, ambitious and caretaking. She is inspiring me personally so, so much. And I hope that she has inspired you out there listening.
She is, hands down, one of the great humans of this world. Like, full stop. And we can learn so much from her. I certainly did. Can I just share one more quote from her that I think is really profound?
Please.
Okay. I think this wraps up this episode so well. So she says, "You have to give things time to grow. Then over the years, you too grow and your own goals adapt to your inner qualities."
Ooh, yeah, right? There it is. I'm going to put that on my wall. Coming Home is produced in partnership with Acast. The editing and sound mixing of this episode is made by Rahmatullah Sheikh. Our theme music is made by Caroline Jungstrom, and our website is designed by Seth and Osten Communication Bureau.
If you want to learn more about Jutta, go to our website, cominghomepodcast.com, where you can find out more about Jutta's book, the Dakar Rally, the upcoming movie, and so much more.
We truly appreciate all the feedback we get from you, and we simply cannot do this without you. So if you want to be a part of building this community and letting more people into the conversation, be sure to rate, review, and follow the show on Apple Podcasts, or Acast, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix. Especially be sure to rate and review the podcast if you really liked it. If you didn't, that's also cool.
Thank you for listening to Coming Home with me, Laura Buck.
And me, Sandra Andres.
Take care. And remember, be kind to yourselves. Till next time.
I'm taking a deep breath. Want to do that with me?
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.